through the book of Romans, which is a wonderful book. If you've never read it or if you haven't been with us, it is a letter that explains the heart of God for humanity. It explains the reality of how, didn't matter how bad we were or how good we thought we were, it explains about how good God is and the power that is in God to turn our hearts to Him and for us to respond to Him. In Romans 9, we were talking about the true promise of God, the truth that He has delivered upon the earth, which we call the gospel, the power of the gospel, this message that was for all humanity, the Father's message delivered through the Son. We've been asking this question, who is really faithful? We look around the room and we think, gee, I don't know. Will people be faithful for life? We have one who we know has an unfailing plan. And what I want to first say this morning is the true plan of God is not just a plan and a promise of hope. It is an unfailing plan of promise and of hope. And we've been learning that when God gets His way in our life, He regenerates us. When God takes hold of us and redeems us, that means rescues us. And when God restores us, it's an unfailing process. When you've tried it in your life or I've tried it in my life, we sometimes struggle with that, don't we? We get to a certain point where we've, tried to color in all the lines and present the picture that everybody wants and we hope that Dad will be happy with. And yet, the Father would just love us to be in relationship with Him. And the whole purpose of why Jesus was delivered as the Son of the Father to this earth was because of the Father's love for us. And many people quote the, Jesus loves me this or no because the Bible tells me so. But it also tells you that Jesus only came because of the Father's love for you. And I feel from this morning, right from the start, that if you've ever had a challenging relationship with your earthly father, it can sometimes affect, or no relationship with your earthly father, it can sometimes affect the way you relate to God, the Father. But this morning, God wants to give you His heart for you. Help you understand what He's always intended. And the difference with God the Father is He just doesn't say, hey, I want this for you. He wants to show you and reveal it to your life. And Paul, who was writing the book of Romans, or the letter of Romans, was wanting us to understand the Father's heart. That the Father loved deeply. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. Some people are like, I love that Jesus came for me. But do you know that Jesus came when He saw the Father's heart for us? He was given because of what He saw in the Father's heart for us. I want you to hear that this morning. We are transformed by His nature to reveal Jesus to the whole of humanity. God's plan was that all those who He'd created would reflect Him and reveal to others the power, the change, the reality of what the gospel does in someone's life when they're in right relationship with God. He wanted us to be those who showed everybody else this is all about relationship. This is all that the true plan of God is all about, how God had a plan even when we were in unbelief. Even when we didn't believe in Him, He had a plan. The plan was not just for those who believed in Him, but for those who didn't believe in Him, that it would turn their hearts. I think that's profound, don't you? But that's God's heart, that He continued to love and He cannot be held from loving in that way. This true plan and promise really hits our hearts when we start to understand the depth and the reach that this has. When I was unbelieving, God was unchanging in His nature towards me. He was pursuing. He was determined. And He is God. How could I not at some point turn and respond to His loving pursuit? It's only when we realize, though, that we've fully rejected Christ in our life, that actually we can all receive the gospel and be saved. One of the things that becomes a stench in God's nostrils is the pride of man when he says, no, I don't need you. I don't need you. I'm good. I'll deliver this myself. Hey, I'm doing a pretty good job. Hey, I'm not trying to hurt anyone. Hey, I'll do some good things. I'm a good person. As soon as we say that, we're putting what good is in our understanding in comparison to God's understanding. And when the Bible says that God is good, it is perfect. When we say we are good, we're saying everybody else must live up to our idea of perfection, our understanding. It's only when we get really honest with ourselves and say, actually, you know what? I've rejected Jesus as much as the next person. When I've tried to do things in my own strength, when I've tried to work this out in my own will and my own way, I've rejected him as much as the next person. And even if they've done worse things, I'm still standing in the side that I've rejected him. And then we can turn to our Father and say, I so understand why you sent your son. And now I completely give over to you because I have rejected you as much as the next person. And therefore, I need saving as much as the next person. And I need your love. And so therefore, I will receive you as Christ the Lord and be saved. You know, the enemy would love the world to keep under the dull, wet blanket of an understanding that you don't need saving. The enemy is a liar. He is the father of lies, and we've got the father of truth. Therefore, we don't need to question whether the enemy is telling the truth. He's lying to you today. If you think you're okay and you're going to get through this and, you know, you'll just do a little bit better tomorrow and be a little bit better the next day and then one day you'll be received, that is actually a lie. It is only through Jesus Christ. And so why I'm setting up in this way is because Romans 10 is one of the greatest messages from the Father's heart to say that salvation is for all. And not just all who've rejected him. Some just realize earlier on that they've tried to do it their own way. Others keep going saying, no, I'm doing this for God. Or, I don't even need God. I'm going to work this life out by myself. All of them end up proving God. In Romans 9, verse 33, it says this, as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. You would have walked in the door this morning, the front door, there's two massive boulders. One's inside the car park, one's outside right in front of you. If you are a blind person who is not looking, that doesn't mean you're actually visually blind, that means you're distracted. You're looking at your phone, you're looking at others. You would have stumbled on those blocks, would you not? They're actually for building, but you might have stumbled on them. When the Bible talks about this, it's saying Jesus is the place that you will either run into or you will build your life on. You'll either believe that he is the building block for humanity, or you'll continually be offended and really have really sore shins as you try and walk through life. Or your head, thank you, Godoy, depending on how well you walk. But what I want you to remember before we get into this is this profound point, that God was intent, the Father was intent on a restored, right relationship with you, based on his willingness and our pure response. His willingness, his way, his work through Jesus Christ, and our pure, total response. Stephen Westerholm says it in this way, righteousness, because we're all trying to attain to rightness or righteousness in some way or another. Righteousness is not simply what one ought to do. Remember the rules, the regulations? We all know what we should do. We don't do it. But he says it in this way, but what one has when one has done it. So you can live this life doing all the things and attaining to and achieving all the things, and you will get what is deserved for your form of righteousness. Or what Paul's been suggesting to us through Romans is we can receive Jesus' righteousness by believing in him and receive what he has done. What a profound quote, hey? You will receive what your form of righteousness is wanting to deliver. So as we go through this, I want you to think about not just what I ought to do, but what Jesus has done and what he has won for each one of us. The good news of chapter 10 is this, a gospel of cosmic reach and salvation held out to all. God is able to save. The only question is left is, are we able to respond fully to him? Are you ready to get into this? Are you warmed up? From Genesis 17:7, from the beginning, God has been saying this over his people, the ones he loves. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. What a promise. Paul knew, as he was writing this letter, that the Israelite people had been chosen as a picture of the church on the earth prior to Jesus, as a people that would live out the reality of what Jesus was on the earth, that he would be a God to them and they would be his children and they would respond in the right way, and it would show all of humanity what God looked like on the earth, and then God would see others respond. Well, that was the plan. And just like it is today, as a church, we've been given this amazing privilege, as Rod said, with responsibility to carry what God has intended as children of God. His earning, what he's done, and let it live in such a way that others would see it. So when Paul starts in chapter 10 and he's talking about his deep heart desire, he's not just being emotional here. He's actually convicted by the Spirit and saying, I really believe that everyone can be saved and I desire it. However, I know, just like God couldn't force his hand, he had to choose, that they have to choose. So in verse 1 of chapter 10, let's get into this. Verse 1 to 4, firstly. He says, brothers, brethren, family, people, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness, that they have a zeal for God, but not acknowledge according to knowledge. But not according to knowledge, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God, which we just talked about, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the end of law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That means that when you believe, it's no longer obeying all the laws and getting all the laws right that's going to deliver your righteousness. It's actually faith in Christ. Faith for righteousness has only just begun. The trust and the belief in him in right relationship has just begun. But doing all the right things to get that relationship has finished. The trust in God. Paul was commending to his own people, you've known all the laws, you've got caught up along the way. You know, I used to go on school excursions with my kids when they were younger. And man, I have a lot of like prayer and grace for teachers, particularly when they're young, you know. I mean, you're all fully grown adults and you know how to now control your personalities, right? And sit nicely in a room. But I know who you are, right? You know. But when you're like 7 or 8, all those personalities are all out there, and particularly on an excursion. How do they represent the school when they're all thinking of individually how they're going to be? I mean, I think it was Botanic Gardens, was it? Trina let me go on there. That's the other point. That was a great permission. She let me go on them and gave me great instruction. Don't get in the way. Don't say anything silly. Don't, you know, pick up a kid. Don't do anything, right? But I was watching these teachers corral them and the techniques and all of the sort of things. And you know, there was just one kid with a massive stick just whacking a tree. And I just thought, I love his personality. He's got a lot of zeal. He lacks wisdom, but he's got a lot of zeal. And I'd watch how these teachers would just gently come along and say, you can bring your stick, but maybe just don't whack trees or anyone else. You know, there was a guide. And it was like a genuine heart for the child to bring them along. It wasn't the law like, you can't have the stick. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then there's another child, you know, who wants the iPad. The teacher had an iPad, so wanted the iPad all the time. That wouldn't happen, would it? You know, and the teacher's like, well, when we can sit down, then you can do it, because otherwise you're going to be blind. You're going to walk into things, you're going to run into things, and you're going to miss things. And then there's always the child who's inspecting everything along the way, but missing the point. Looking at everything, and the teacher's like, can you just, that's wonderful, that's really special, now can we move on, because we've got to get somewhere. Do you see how our personalities play out from a very young age? And I watched this, you know, unfolding and was thinking about, man, that is a way that I see God guiding us. He's gentle, he's loving, but he's determined to get us where we're going. Now, any of those kids, the kid could have just stayed whacking the tree and they could have left him behind. They didn't leave him behind. I should say person, so then we don't know. It could be someone anyway. It's crazy in Adelaide. They turn up in your churches sometimes a little few years later and you're like, he's still whacking the tree. Anyway. But God is a gentleness to move us on. You can bring the stick. That's going to be helpful later, but that's not the purpose. And don't whack anybody else. That was highly probable. But the gentleness with which it was done reminded me of God, how he brings us along. Brings us along the way. And then there was that especially naughty kid. You know, I look across the room here and I'm like, oh, I know who that would have been. You know, looking towards the back over there. And don't, just because you're older doesn't mean you wouldn't have been that. Sometimes I end up in law enforcement, don't they, Cliff? Anyway. The reality is that God knows us deeply and intimately and wants to bring us on the journey. Bring us through. But we have challenges of not knowing what to do with what God has given us. And so we need the guide to deliver us. And so what was happening with the Israelite nation is they got caught up along the way. There was someone whacking a tree. There was someone who wanted the iPad. There was someone who, they were all about the things that really weren't the Christ. They'd been given the law, the prophets. They'd been seen everything. And yet they were missing the one they were meant to be walking with. They had prized the things that God had given them around or more than the person that God was going to give them. And you know, this is even a warning for the church today, isn't it? We can sometimes get away with all the things and get caught up in the things that need to be happening for Jesus or for us or for whatever, instead of being in relationship with him and knowing that that was the purpose for which his son came. The interesting one for me was the worst kid, which I was talking about. The teacher said, profound. She said, will you get to hold my hand for the rest of the day? And I was like, wow, they didn't have the wisdom like that in my day. That would have terrified me. 7 or 8 year old boy now having to walk around held by the teacher in a very relational, held sense. But sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that closeness of relationship to understand this is not the time for you to shine, little boy. This is a time for you to be close and God to walk me through, walk you through all things. God intended, the point was, we weren't meant to get misguided zeal. We weren't meant to get the knowledge that leads to us thinking we're the strength in our own thinking. We weren't meant to get caught up in the good works that are not enough to deliver what Christ intended anyway. But only faith in Christ that leads to relationship with the Father was what was intended. And Paul was really agonizing over this because he wanted the whole community that he was a part of to believe and know this as well. He'd done the other things and he wanted this. All right. So now you're all praying for the teachers on your next excursion that your kids are going on. You've had an insight. Romans 10:1-4. There was a legal problem here. How was righteousness going to be delivered? By your obeying the law, which we're incapable of, to the full extent, through your righteous works, which is impossible to please God. I felt to write it that strongly. Righteousness by works is actually impossible. The law came through Moses to say, you thought you might even be able to do this. Now I want you to know you cannot do this. In your heart, in your life, you will do it in some way or another. And what God has given us is a gospel remedy that says the righteous will live by faith in Christ. It is scandalous. It is powerful. It is an amazing message to every one of our hearts and a reminder. Where does he say it? Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes in him. It'll continue to operate unless Christ is the one that you put your trust in. In verse 5, he goes on and he makes clear to those who he loves, Paul, talking to those who should have known this. And he says, for Moses writes about righteousness that is based on law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. Whether you live by faith or whether you live by law, it's hear and do. It's a lot easier to be obedient when you're in the love of the Father and of Christ than it is when you're in fear of punishment. They were fearing punishment, and then they punished everybody else. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? It says the word, this is the word of faith, the word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, not just that Jesus was a nice bloke, Jesus did nice things, Jesus, can you save me from this, Jesus, can you save me from that, but Jesus, you are Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Beanie talked about the call going out, calling you by name. You might have felt God calling you by name, drawing you here this morning, drawing you online this morning. But then there's a moment where we turn and we call on his name. Father, I realize what you've done. I also realize what I've done. This counts for nothing. This counts for everything, what you've done. And you turn your heart to him. The message of all salvation, of salvation for all, sorry, and the Lord of all comes, and it is through heart belief and audible confession. So this morning as we're singing these songs, it's audible confession. Believe in our heart, this is possible. God has done this. I don't have to do this. He's done it. And then confessing it so our own ears can hear it and others around us. It's Christ who died for me, and it's Christ who lives in me, because Christ was raised for me. There is a powerful message that says that we have a choice now. You have a choice. We don't just live under the law or the works that would deliver righteousness. We now get to choose faith that delivers righteousness. And instead of trying to justify ourselves all the time for why we did this, that, the other, and how it affected that person and didn't do this, and I mean, that's just why we've got a mental health epidemic. Because people are so caught up in how do I fix everything. Imagine when God, the Father, says, I want to put peace in your heart because I will settle this. I will resolve this. I will deliver this. You be at rest and I will move. He picks us up, he takes us by the heart, and he causes us to confess, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. The gospel is extended. The message for all is now received. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is great encouragement to every person who is in this room and is beyond this room. They're going to hear this message. So why was Paul upset with his brothers and sisters? Why was he struggling? He'll explain to us why. In verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? You see, Israel had received the truth from the beginning, from Genesis, through Moses, that Jesus was the only one. It was only going to be by the Messiah. All the prophets, the law and the prophets pointed to Jesus. They'd received the message, and yet they'd failed to spread it. instead of spreading it and letting the light come to all humanity, that held it in and said, we'll keep this for ourselves. And worse than that, we'll just tell everybody else they're bad and we're good. And they've got to live up to what we're doing. They didn't extend it. They actually reduced it and got caught up in the wrong things. They had seen. What Paul's saying to them in this couple of verses is he's saying, did God not send messengers to you? Messengers of the gospel? And did you not hear it? We know in other parts of Scripture it says, no, they had blind eyes and blind hearts. He goes on to say, as it is written, he's proving his point. You've heard this all along. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news, but they have not obeyed the gospel. Wow. You've heard it, but you've not walked in it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they heard? Have they not heard? Indeed, they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the end of the world. The prophets, the words, you can find Israelite prophetic nuances right throughout humanity. It had gone right through the earth, these words, whether they recognize them as the Proverbs of Solomon, who was counted as the wisest person on the planet, or whether it was the prophets who'd spoken of Israel. The other countries had heard. In fact, they were in great fear of this Israelite nation because of what the prophecy said through Jeremiah. They wanted to kill Jeremiah. They wanted to take out anything like that, other nations, because they'd heard of the favor that was on this people. The whole earth had heard about it. Israel was living with it. And yet they were not extending and readying themselves for the person of Jesus Christ. That also understood in verse 19, it says, but I asked, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not our nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Israel is so bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. Isaiah says, God has revealed himself to those who didn't seek him. And he's shown himself to those who did not ask for him. But of Israel, he says, all day long, I have held out my hand to a disobedient and a contrary people. Not just disobedient in their heart, but contrary in their way. Contrary to what God intended, Israel was not extending the life of the gospel of Jesus who was coming. There must have been an expectation in God's heart that they would have been heralding the Messiah. I mean, we didn't just have those people from the east come and visit Jesus at his birth because they had a random epiphany. No, they had heard. They had read. And they were now reading the stars and finding their way to this one who would deliver. I wonder in our day how many people who are far off are finding their way to God by following certain things to get here, even when the people of God aren't sharing it. So what's our response today? We need to firstly understand that every person who is on the planet has been culpable. Culpable means responsible. It's just a strong word. For either spreading faith or fear. I saw through the pandemic the way people spread faith or fear. And the results were so clearly opposite. Faith that grounds us, releases peace, hope, and joy beyond it. This is just an example. I mean, this is life. I mean, pandemic's only one thing. But it was a great exposure of what happens when you release fear. Anxiety. Depression, oppression, tendencies off the charts like never before. And I hope during that period, as we preached and we talked about things, you became more desiring faith to be spread than fear. But even across all time and all humanity, there is a moment we need to realize what Jesus has called us to deliver as people who know him. Paul left them without excuse. He's saying to his brothers and sisters, don't tell me you haven't heard the gospel. You've seen it, you've heard it, you've even understood it, but you have not spread it. Wow. Happy Father's Day. Our response to the Father today is to know that intrinsically without Him, our desires, our nature will be disobedient. How do I know that? Because half of you in the room just went, no, it won't be. Which immediately says you didn't listen. It will be. But with God, and by the need for His transforming of our nature, we have the opportunity to be obedient. There's a possibility that you could be entirely obedient to the Father's will and what He's doing. Maybe not all the time at first, but growing in it to the place where you are. How cool is that? Don't focus on the disobedience. Just know that's the way we are. And then move on to, you've had a possibility made available to you that we can be obedient to Him. Paul wants to leave his friends, his family, his brothers with no excuse. And we are the kings of intention and the lords of making excuses. But you don't know what I'm going through. And you don't know how I've gone through it. And I've got this journey. Do you know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a team? They're a family. And they work through everything together. So when we do isolating things like go, I'm just going to go and sort this out over here, you know, with Jesus, and pull away from everyone, we do something that's contrary to God's nature. Wow. Boom. No, but Ben, I'm working it out with Jesus. Jesus doesn't work it out that way. Jesus pulls in to the Father. The Holy Spirit pulls in to the Son. And then they go out with a message of the reality of what God's doing. So why should we gather as a church? Why do we come together in unity? Because it's just like the Trinity. In all the books I've read and seen of why should I come to church, that hasn't been mentioned, unfortunately. We are culpable and we're contrary in our wills and our words and our ways because we get misguided zeal. We just start whacking a tree. We want to use the iPad. We want to walk along and look at little flowers on the side. We want to do anything to distract us from the purpose, and He wants us to get the purpose, to walk in relationship with Him. Now, how does this happen? It is a matter of heart and mouth confession. If God has your heart and God has your mouth, then everything changes. Because your ears are going to hear different things. If you're proclaiming Jesus rather than fear, your ears are not going to be hearing fear. They're going to be hearing faith. Your ears are going to change. If He has your heart and He has your mouth, then you become faith-filled in our life. We become gospel-filled with our mouths. And we become fruitful in everything we're doing. Because we're sowing seeds that are righteous in the power of God. So, I mean, this is a whole lot of giving up control, isn't it? It's my heart, Ben. It's my life. I'll say what I want to say, and I'll say it when I want to say it. Really? That's not what God's asking. God's saying, can I have your heart? Can I have your mouth? And can I deliver what I want to deliver through you? Wow. It is a matter of heart and word. Let me just read these verses as we finish up. In verse 4, it says this, just listen with your ears. This is the good news. This is the matter of the heart and the word today. This is for us to receive, to be rescued, and rejoice in what Christ has done. In verse 4, he says this, just listen. Here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. 21, and all day long I have held out my hand to a disobedient and a contrary people. He doesn't want us to miss it. He's done it all. Today, how do we respond? You know, the thing that's so offensive to us is that the gospel is power to save, but it's effortless to be reconciled to God. It's not about our effort and our earning. It's actually effortless, and that's offensive to us because we want to do something. Our response is everything. In a relationship, response is everything. If you do not listen to your wife when she is speaking and you ignore it, reconciliation is not effortless. If you listen and you respond with your heart and your mouth, surprisingly, then you're listening, you're hearing, and reconciliation is effortless. Sorry, you didn't know I was marriage counseling, did you? The cosmic reach of the gospel needs to get to our hearts. So I'm telling you, it is effortless today. It is a cosmic reach. If you think you're too far gone, if you think any part of you is too far gone, this word says it is not. God will redeem from where he's standing, not from where you're standing. He is resounding the truth over your life louder than the truth you are expelling. He is resounding over your life, and he wants to resound in your life and transform your life to the alignment of his truth, not your truth. And thirdly, you will receive surprising joy. I don't think this is sold enough in Christianity. You will receive undeserved, surprising joy. This is our heart today. Receive what Jesus has atoned for. Receive it. Jesus, open my heart wide. What I can feel across this room, and I've been praying for you at home, is that your heart would open up. And your mouth would then follow, and you would exclaim, I believe in what Jesus has done more than I believe in what I do for myself. I believe now, I confess that he is Lord. I'm not going to take his throne. I will let control go to you. Not to nowhere, to you, Lord God. Receive his atoning work in our own lives. Now, I know that Jesus died on the cross. Let it happen here in our hearts. Hear the gospel for yourself today. It's for you. He wants a relationship with you. Understand the impact will be every day and forevermore. And accept Jesus as Lord. Don't reject him. He's a good Lord. And we have a good Father. He wants to guide us and gently pick us up and bring us along the way.